Alvarado, and others.
Forgot to ask you, you don't need a break, do you?
Our council ready, and Alvarado will hear first from Mr. Garcia. Sir.
Before the court is an appeal of Arnoldo Alvarado's conviction under 18 U.S.C. 111, wherein the district court erred in denying Mr. Alvarado a jury instruction of self-defense. Additionally, the district court erred by instructing the jury that the government need not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Alvarado, the appellant in this case, knew that the federal agent was in fact a federal agent engaged in the course of his employment.
Can I ask you a question about the self-defense?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that is about what's in the record on this. The district court held that a rational jury couldn't conclude that either Pedro or Arnaldo was in fear for his life. Now, what is the evidence about when the shot was fired that actually hit the agent?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that that's a fact question of when the shot was
fired. What
is
the evidence in the record? That's what I want to know, because I've got notes that say that he felt the wound sometime in the 3 miles from the house to wherever the thing finally ended.
Correct. And I can draw the court's attention. Specifically, Agent Harrison testified that he...
He was the agent.
Agent Harrison was the ICE agent, correct.
Shot.
He was the ICE agent who was shot. He testifies that soon after turning off of the corner of 11th and 490, he starts to head up north.
Right.
And sometime after that, of course, the government's argument was that it happened after the altercation that occurred at the corner there of 11th Street, also known as Cemetery Road. However, there's a conflict in the testimony, because we have Agent Renaud who testifies that there's no time, and this is at 1319, there was no time between shots fired and I'm hit. Shots fired and I'm hit. Saying that, and Agent Harrison testifies that he had the radio in his hand and he immediately called out. Christopher.
So he testified, Harrison, is the one that got hit.
Yes, Your Honor.
Testified that he got hit somewhere on that 3 miles.
Correct. Well, his testimony, Your Honor, if I may, is that he got hit further down. A little bit further down, less somewhere between an agent, Renaud testifies that he was struck less than a quarter mile north of 11th Street and the intersection of 493.
I mean, the point is that he got hit after he left the scene, so to speak. The agent got hit after he left the scene.
Well, Your Honor, the testimony is that the agent was hit. We don't believe that that, in fact, is what occurred. We believe that reasonable jury could conclude
well, that's
that
what I want to know. What's the evidence? I mean, that's his evidence, okay, was that he was hit when he had left the scene of the under the tree or whatever.
Yes, Your Honor. The evidence is that, again, the only evidence is that you have the statement of Agent Harrison saying that he was struck sometime after he left. Of course, Agent Harrison knows and understands the concept of self-defense, that if he's struck at the tree or where that initial altercation where my client and his brother were shot at, then there's a valid claim of self-defense. But if the further he gets away from that tree, then it makes it less likely that there is a self-defense claim. Again, we go back to what Agent Harrison testifies. He testifies that he immediately called out on the radio. His immediate call out on the radio was not that shots fired, but rather it was shots fired, I'm hit. And that not only is it stated by Agent Renault, but also Agent Chris Villarreal, that's at Chris Villarreal at 2068. Hears Harrison break radio silence and say, shots fired, I'm hit. And if that's the first call he makes out, where Agent Harrison says that he has the radio in his hand immediately, there's no time from the time that, you know, that it happened further away from this initial altercation.
Did they say they heard the shots fired and then he radioed, or did he say at the same time, shots fired, I'm hit? Did they hear the shots and then he comes on the radio, or they're just relying on what he said?
They're just relying on what he said. They never heard the shots.
Well, that doesn't mean that he radioed as soon as shots were fired, necessarily.
Well, Agent Harrison testifies that he radioed as soon as shots were fired. The first thing he did, he testifies that he has the radio in his hand and that he radios out immediately, shots fired, I'm hit. And so that's the point, that the only evidence we have is this circumstantial evidence that he's saying that he's hit. Now, at trial, he testifies that he felt a bullet strike him somewhere further down. I think it also raises potentially could raise an issue as to, you know, again, they're convicted under 111, and there's no requirement that he be struck by a bullet. You know, did the jury decide that, well, they half of them maybe decided that he was assaulted at the tree, but then others decided that he was assaulted when he was struck? There's no requirement that he be struck by a bullet. And so the issue, I think, the further you get away from, and the testimony also from my client and his brother, is that they were firing in the air. You have the added ingredient of another assailant or a group of other assailants in another vehicle also chasing him, where Agent Harrison testifies that he was being shot at by both sides, that there was two vehicles that were following him, that the vehicles were spread apart at 1502. He testifies to that.
What's the total body of evidence that you rely upon for the inference that your people could have acted in self-defense?
Yes, Your Honor, if I may. Arnoldo Alvarado at 2099 is awoken by his father that there are armed people on the property or invaders on the property. Again, taking into account his testimony that they had previously witnessed their mother being shot at or a weapon being shot.
I didn't really intend for you to go back that far, but I...
Okay. Well, again, this is what's going on in that young man's mind, and he testifies to it. It's in the record. Additionally,
your brother was home safely in the house, right?
Yes, ma'am.
The whole family was in the house.
The entire family.
They pick up their guns, get in the truck, and head out hunting for people.
No, Your Honor. They go out to investigate trespassers that were on their property, and as they arrive to the trespassers...
They get their
correct.
Guns, get in the truck.
As
nobody's being shot at in the house. Nobody. The mother's not outside.
The house is empty.
I'm sorry?
The house was empty.
The house was empty, correct. They go out to investigate.
I'm at the house where when they were all asleep.
They're rightfully on their property. When
Mother, everybody's accounted for. Their mother isn't out on the property like the previous.
Correct.
So they leave the safety of the home, get their guns, get in the truck, head out.
On their property, yes. And as they reach where the trespasser is sitting under a tree, they're fired upon. That's statement from both Arnoldo and Marquez Alvarado, stating that they were fired on first. You have...
Did they say how they knew they were fired upon? Was it noise or was it bullets?
They heard the gunshots. They heard the shots. They heard the shots at 2111. Arnoldo Alvarado, he first heard the shots fired at them, and that's when he picked up his gun. At 2115, again, at 3 in the morning, there's an unmarked vehicle sitting on their property. They hear shots fired when their father told them that they have these people that are there to cause harm when they previously had this issue come up. As they approach the vehicle, they hear shots fired. You have Rene Garcia, David Olivares in the other vehicle. David Olivares had testified earlier that they had an AK-47 and another handgun in that vehicle that were shooting in that direction, that could have been shooting in that direction. Again, we believe it was error for the court to make a factual determination rather than instructing the jury. On cases, you know, the government cites to the Branch case, wherein federal agents had warrants to be at the Branch Davidian compound, and the district court gave them a self-defense instruction.
Do we consider the conduct, the fact that they did chase this officer up FM, was it 493? I mean, is that part of the whole circumstances? At that point, they were not being fired on, were they?
Your Honor, respectfully, I believe it is a circumstance, but I believe that's a jury.
They were not returning fire. They were chasing and firing, and I think your brief says to get rid of these people once and for all.
And the jury's instructed to make that decision whether the force was excessive. But rather than allow the jury to make that determination, one person made that choice, made that decision.
I'm just asking, assuming that the Officer Harris was shot near the tree, do we cut off our review after that in terms of, do we consider what the Alvarados did after that in continuing pursuit of the officer?
Your Honor, if I may respectfully, I think the determination can be made based on the testimony of both my client and his brother that once they passed the tree, the shots that he fired were in the air. And you have the added ingredient of the Garcia and Olivares following in the F-350 that arguably were firing as well. Again, you have someone.
You've exceeded your time. You can have some time.
Thank you.
No, you don't.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You didn't reserve it. Mr. Sullivan.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Scott Sullivan. I represent Pedro Alvarado, the father of the co-defendant. From the questions I already heard, it's obvious that there is a concern, as there was with the trial judge, that the further he gets down that road, the further he continues to flee, the less chance there is of self-defense. However, the government, not us, the government says they disagree with that with a very important observation. And that observation is that in self-defense claims, you have to look at the totality of the circumstances. I say this because the trial judge, on almost four occasions, would lay out three elements. He would say, officer was in flight, the officer was still being shot at, the officer was unarmed, and he was trying to get away. From the trial judge's perspective, that was the end of it. Because he even made a distinction that he was going to carve out what had happened back at the tree when they initially approached the car. He was going to carve it out of the facts. How he would do that, I'm not quite sure. But he was going to carve it out and say there may have been self-defense there. But he made it abundantly clear, based on the same grounds I'm hearing this court ask, that because of those handful of elements, he would not give himself defense. But when you step back and look at the totality of the circumstances, you first of all have to look at Hargill, Texas. Hargill, Texas is so bad that it has drug dealers setting up drug dealers. They call the cops on each other. They both have cops on the payroll. Cops live in Hargill that are corrupt. The whole town is so dangerous that everybody knows the town motto. And that is, it's going to be my drugs or nobody's drugs.
Where is this place?
It is down in the valley, northeast of McAllen. It would be starting to come, as you start to come, I believe, north of out of the valley a little bit. In the valley, the towns line up linearly from Brownsville all the way to Rio Grande City. And in
brief, United States versus Posado Rios, which is a case from our court, It talks about the elements of self-defense. And one of them is, according to this decision, which you all didn't cite, the defendant had no reasonable legal alternative to violating, to shooting, and a chance to refuse to do the criminal act. Now, weren't there legal alternatives here than grabbing the guns, getting in the truck, and getting in a shootout, and then continuing to pursue?
In a typical place, in a typical town, that would be true.
Since when did we carve Brownsville out of the state of Texas?
And I know that I'm aware my initial comment sounds rather strange. And I'm not saying in certain places you change the definition of self-defense. But the point is, they had, even though, yes, he does, as I think the evidence starts to show, he got shot after he started to move, respectfully, Judge King and Judge Owen. He did get shot after that.
Is it clear he was in his vehicle and the vehicle was moving when he was shot?
I believe that the trial judge had ample evidence to conclude that, and that's what led him not to give the charge. This is what gave rise to this split charge idea. That since there may have been some shooting at the car and he may have been shot at the car, this continuing to chase after him and keep shooting at him could not be self-defense. Now, how he would have carved that out, I don't know. He never described how he was going to do that. Your Honor, you cited a case a minute ago. What was the name of that? I apologize.
United States versus Posado Rios. It's cited in one of the government's briefs on page 17.
Yes. And one of the things, one of the end quotes in that case is a concept, rather the concept that just ended my argument, but if I could briefly finish the sentence, is that jurors, we don't want to confuse them with self-defense charge. We would submit to the court that we periodically ask jurors to think about one issue when it comes to a piece of evidence, then forget that evidence, for instance, a 404B situation. The evidence comes in. We tell them to consider it as it goes to intent. We then turn right around and say, don't consider it for anything else.
Mr. Garcia,
Thank you, Your Honor, I'm done.
You have 5 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Kim.
May it please the court. My name is Paul Kim. I represent the United States in these consolidated appeals. It is my honor to present this panel with my very first oral argument. Unless this panel has questions or concerns about the other issues, I will confine my oral argument to the self-defense jury instruction issue. The district court did not abuse its discretion in this case by refusing to instruct the jury as to self-defense because the defendants did not make the requisite showing. As counsel stated, this court must look at the totality of the circumstances. And as this, your honors are aware, the background facts led these two groups to focus on the same tractor trailer in Hargill, Texas. Agent Harrison was parked at an intersection near a tree. The leader of the group of drug dealers, Rene Garcia, called Pedro Alvarado, and Pedro Alvarado then woke up his children, Arnaldo and Marquez, told them to get their guns, get in the truck, and because he had had a report that there were armed people in the area and one of them was parked near their aunt's property. Now, at this point, they have a report of a threat. That threat is not imminent. That threat is not to their property. It is to a neighboring property.
Well, it's still family property. It was the aunt's property.
Yes, but it was still not their property, and it was the aunt's abandoned property. And both sons testified that the aunt and nobody else was living there. Marquez described it as abandoned with no electricity. So at this point, they could have stayed in the safety of their home. They could have called the authorities. But instead, they chose to leave their home and go towards the perceived threat. So the Alvarados live on a fence property with a locked gate. They leave that property and travel a quarter of a mile down the road towards the aunt's property. They have their headlights off. They are slowly driving towards the allegedly armed person. And Agent Harrison, who is sitting in his car, sees the Alvarados coming towards his vehicle, and he decides to leave. And he begins to leave. At this point, the Alvarados allegedly and conveniently hear gunshots and then proceed to open fire on Agent Harrison's Jeep. Now, these gunshots, the Alvarados claim, constituted a threat, justifying their acts as self-defense. The problem with that is that they themselves admit that they do not know the actual source of these gunshots. They assume that it was the Jeep because the Jeep was in front of them, but Rene Garcia's pickup truck was actually in the area, coming towards their location. They did not see muzzle flashes coming from the Jeep, so they simply assumed that it was coming from the Jeep and they fired at the Jeep. The only evidence of these gunshots comes from the son's testimonies, which is contradicted by Agent Harrison's testimony, as well as co-defendant David Olivares' testimony. He was a passenger in Rene Garcia's pickup truck at the time. They then, once the shooting starts, at this point, there is, under FIOLA, there must be a reasonable, the acts of the victim, the federal officer, must be reasonably interpreted as an unlawful use of force for the FIOLA exception to apply. At this point, the officer, Agent Harrison, has taken no acts other than to start driving away. He is unarmed. He could not have fired those shots.
I don't know that.
That's true, Your Honor. But what they do know is they heard gunshots, and they don't know that it actually came from the Jeep. But so there is no reasonable basis for them to simply just assume that it came from the Jeep. However, the events proceed once the shooting starts.
What is, in the evidence most favorable to the Alvarados, when could Officer Harrison have been shot under the evidence?
Well, it is the government's contention that...
Not your contention. What evidence in favor of the Alvarados came out that says it, the first possible time he could have been shot?
Well, I believe that based on their testimonies, once they heard the gunshots is when they claimed to have been in fear of their lives. So, they sort of had a general fear beforehand, but when they were approaching the vehicle, Arnaldo was not holding the gun. He had a gun with him, but he was not holding it. That seems to indicate that he was not in...
No, I'm asking, when does the evidence say the first possible time that Harrison was hit by a bullet?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. The only evidence of when Agent Harrison was actually hit is Agent Harrison's testimony. The Alvarados did not testify as to when he was hit because they don't know. Basically, nobody else knows except Agent Harrison. And Agent Harrison's, so Agent Harrison's uncontested testimony is that he was approaching the blinking light, which is at the intersection in front of the convenience store.
And that's 3 miles away from...
It's not 3 miles away, but it is, it was, the entire chase was approximately 3 miles, and the convenience store was at least one intersection up.
All right, how, that was my, I had that written down. How far was the convenience store from the tree?
It looked to be about a quarter of a mile. I don't know that anybody actually testified as to the specific distance. In the government's trial exhibits, there is an overview map of Hargill. And I believe Exhibit 6 shows the convenience store intersection.
He was hit before he got there.
Yes, he claimed to have been looking at the blinking light, and as he was passing underneath the light, he felt the bullet go through him. So he was definitely off the Ann's property, and he was passing in front of the convenience store.
What about their argument that he radioed in, shots fired, I'm hit?
I'm sorry?
What about their argument that he radioed, shots fired, I'm hit?
Well, their argument regarding the radio communications is based on the testimony of two officers, one of whom was not in radio communication distance. He was on his way in, and so the first communication he heard, and he claimed faintly he heard, was that I'm hit. But he did not hear any of the preceding communications before that. The second officer testified as to, he basically summarized the entire communication, radio communications that he received from Harrison as shots fired, I'm hit. He was not asked, he was called as a defense witness, but he was not asked exactly which communication came when during that entire sequence. So that was essentially his summary of that entire series of communications. So it is the government's contention that those do not show when Agent Harrison was hit. Basically, the only evidence is Agent Harrison's testimony. And in the appellant's briefs, in Arnoldo's briefs on page 8, he states that Agent Harrison was shot a quarter of a mile from the Ant's property. And in his reply brief, Pedro Alvarado states that admits that Agent Harrison was shot during the chase. So I think that that issue is essentially uncontested. So the during the chase, as held by the district court, there simply was no threat posed by Agent Harrison. It's uncontested that he was in retreat the entire time. He never fired any shots. He was unarmed, so he could not fire any shots. And the defendants did not claim to see any gunshots coming from his Jeep. But they proceeded to chase him for approximately 3 miles with Rene Garcia coordinating the chase. And the uncontested fact is that Agent Harrison was shot during the chase. Now, since the assault, the defendant's acts constituted assault either at the initial encounter at the tree or during the chase, the district court did not find it necessary to definitively determine whether or not the defendants had a reasonable basis for self-defense at the tree, because it held that even if we were to assume that they had self-defense at the tree, there was absolutely no evidence of self-defense during the chase. And therefore, it refused to instruct the jury as to self-defense. So the district court's ruling, it was not an abuse of discretion and may be affirmed on that basis alone. However, it is the government's contention that the Alvarados never had any reasonable basis for self-defense during at any point during any of these events. If this court has no other questions, the government respectfully requests that the district court's judgment be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Kim.
Thank you.
Mr. Sullivan, you have 5 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I forgot probably our most important piece of evidence. The trial judge said, at least on one occasion, I believe on a second occasion, as he heard this evidence and as he heard it toward the end, he said this was, quote, a close call. And that's because he himself knew that most or perhaps all of the physical evidence pointed back that this happened back at the tree, despite the officer's testimony that he believed it happened further down the road. We say this because when Quantico came in, let me back up and change that. When the FBI brings in their experts to check this road out, there are no shells, quote, laying out constantly down the road. They are only at specific spots, and almost the great number of them were back up by the tree. So that's where most of the shooting took place, most of the altercation. Incidentally,
your client's client.
I'm sorry?
Your client was coming towards the Jeep.
When he comes.
I mean, when the whole thing started, when the Jeep was under the tree.
When the Jeep was under the tree, his car was starting to approach him and coming down the road. The officer then flips on his lights and tries to head out and onto the road. He looks the other way, and the real drug dealer that started this whole problem is coming the other way. And he says, I got shot at from both angles by the Alvarados, who are actually victims of this real drug dealer who can play every game in the book. He called 911 and said, there's a shooting going on out here, about 10 minutes before the shooting even started. Welcome to Hargill, Texas. It was reasonable for them to chase him because of all the, not only the past events, they had been the victims of a home invasion. Not only because of that, but because of the way the shooting had started at the tree. Yes, fleeing is an element under the totality of circumstances test that the government can point to, but it doesn't remove the fact that all it takes is one turn of the wheel and this person who is being shot at is coming back the other way. Now he's the deadly weapon. I would also note this. The judge put a lot of emphasis on the fact that he believed all the evidence that was introduced over those 4 days. It seemed to him that the agent was not armed. That still remains that issue. It was never really completely solved. They did several grid searches of that area. They never found a gun, but there still remained the possibility because of some of the testimony of, by the way, these witnesses were very young. Some were 18 and 16 years old, testified. They clearly heard shots coming from that area, from the from where the agent's truck was at, excuse me, his Jeep was at. So just to say he kept on chasing doesn't say.
Did they stop their truck when shots were fired, or they keep going towards the Jeep?
They kept going. I'm sorry. Yes, they kept after the Jeep until he landed in some brush. And then it even gets more confusing because it's not clear at what distance they stay away from him and stay away from the scene, because the agent abandons the vehicle.
No, I meant after he's at the tree, they think he's shooting at them. They don't stop. They continue going towards the Jeep after they think the Jeep has been shooting at them.
I'm sorry. I believe momentarily there was at least a stop because they were coming up on him from one end, and they had to stop or they would have rammed each other, because he has to turn the other way and starts to run into the other drug dealer. And then the agent has to do a complete U-turn to begin his getaway, so to speak. So there is a point where you have all three of the vehicles almost practically stopped because the officer is doing a U-turn in the middle of this to get away from all of this. I notice my time is up. I thank the court. People think criminal defense lawyers are not pro-law enforcement. We are very, very fortunate that this officer didn't die, that he lived. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sullivan, you and Mr. Garcia are court-appointed to represent the Alvarados, and the court thanks you for the performance of your duty today. Thank you very much. Mr. Kim, did you say this was your first argument? Well, you did a very good job, too. Thank you very much.
Report to your boss that you did great.
Okay, we'll call the next case if y'all are ready.